caught up with our careers, with our families, with our
performance-enhancing drugs.
I'm having panic attacks and everything.
Get a collection of it, put it in a secret album.
I don't know when the next rocket might fall.
Got some big testicles to pull this off, bro.
Hello, good to have you with me. Tom Tilley with you for Hack. Now, the coalition government's axe is swinging already, and one of the first victims is Tim Flannery's Climate Commission. We're going to bring you the latest on that today, and we're going to attempt to answer an age-old question. Here it is. Is sex with your ex ever a healthy way to work through a breakup? Something I think every single one of you will have an opinion on.
Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Now, first to Canberra. Yes, and as Lindsay and I were just talking about, a popular destination for politicians and pyromaniacs. But soon the nation's capital will have a new draw card. It's likely to become the first state or territory anywhere in Australia to legalise same-sex marriage. This morning, the laws were introduced to the ACT Parliament, and the territory government says that gay couples should be able to marry there before the end of the year. But the laws are likely to be challenged in either the High Court or overruled by the federal government. In a moment, we're going to speak to the ACT's Chief Minister, but I want to hear from you. Would you go to Canberra to get hitched, even if you risk having your marriage annulled down the track? Give me a call.
Hack 1300 055 36. Text 0439 75 7555.
First, Hack's Julia Holman has the latest on this new bill.
The public gallery was packed as the ACT's Attorney General Simon Corbell introduced same-sex marriage laws into Parliament.
And it proclaims that everyone is equal before the law and is entitled to the equal protection of the law without discrimination on any ground.
Ivan Hinton, Deputy National Director of Australian Marriage Equality, was watching as the bill was introduced.
It's a really important idea for people to understand the circumstances that happened this morning.
I commend this bill to the Assembly.
Once he tabled the bill officially, there was just applause from the gallery, and the gallery was packed. And then suddenly people just started standing up, and then the applause just increased. And it was an amazing moment.
People in the gallery, please resume their seats.
The Territory Government says the laws could be passed as early as October. Ivan Hinton believes gay couples will be getting hitched in the can before the end of the year.
I think that's inevitable. There's already people going to New Zealand. We travelled to Canada 5 years ago.
To get married?
Yeah. So we're about to celebrate our fifth wedding anniversary.
But even before the laws have been passed, there's already hints they could face a challenge.
Obviously, the ACT is entitled to do what it wants within the law. Within the law.
Prime Minister Tony Abbott says he's instructed his Attorney General George Brandis to take a look at these laws.
As you know, under the Constitution, the Commonwealth has responsibility for marriage, and the Attorney will be seeking advice on precisely how far that extends.
And there already is pressure on the federal government to stamp them out.
We all want to be tolerant and acceptance of same-sex couples. None of us want to cause grief to them. But we also want kids to have a mum and a dad. So I think we need a proper, more mature debate about this that goes beyond the slogans of equal love, marriage equality, whatever that means.
Lyle Shelton is the Managing Director of the Australian Christian Lobby.
When the founders put marriage into the Constitution in 1901, they knew that it was man, woman. So I think this does need to be challenged. And if gay activists want to continue their campaign, they need to pursue that through the federal parliament, not to try and go through backdoor means like the ACT Legislative Assembly, where nine people, eight Labor and one Greens, will decide marriage policy that affects the whole country.
Tony Abbott, the Prime Minister, and George Brandis, the Attorney General, would be the people who I imagine would have the most influence and be looking most closely at this issue. Have you spoken directly with either of those men on this issue or people who work with their office?
Oh, look, I can't say, you know, who we talk to. We talk to people all the time. But I think this is something which they're going to have to think really carefully about.
The ACT has tried to introduce similar laws before. Back in 2006, they legalised gay civil unions, but it was struck down by the then Prime Minister, John Howard.
The legislation, by its own admission, is an attempt to equate civil unions with marriage, and we don't find that acceptable.
So if the federal coalition government wants to repeal these laws, how could they do it?
Well, I think there are two main ways that these laws could be challenged. One is through the courts, and the other is by the Commonwealth Parliament passing a law to overturn the ACT's law on marriage equality.
Ryan Goss is a lecturer at the Australian National University's College of Law. He says the ACT government has advice that the law could withstand a High Court challenge.
That advice was prepared by two of the most senior barristers in the country at the time, David Jackson and Stephen Gagler, who's actually now on the High Court himself.
So option two, the laws could be overturned by the Parliament. Territory rights were weaker back in 2006 when John Howard overturned the civil unions through the Parliament. Back then, the Attorney General could overturn the law with a flick of a pen. Since then, the laws have been changed and there would actually have to be a vote in both houses to repeal the law.
So the ACT, like the Northern Territory, isn't quite a constitutional grown-up in the way that the states are. If you like, it's more of a constitutional teenager. And what that means is that if the Commonwealth wants to overturn it, it can pass a law through its own parliament that overturns that territory law, something they couldn't do if it was Queensland or WA passing the law.
So if you want certainty, if you want to get rid of the laws, really parliament's the best option?
Well, parliament is certainly a safe option, but of course it's politically risky, both in the sense that it requires the coalition government to stand up against marriage equality and that it would require them navigating the Senate.
Ryan Goss from the ANU College of Law speaking with Hack's Julia Holman. I'd love to hear what you've got to say on this topic. If you're interested in marrying your same-sex partner, would you go to Canberra and get married there, knowing that it could potentially be annulled? Give me a call, 1300 055 36, 1300 055 36. In the Hack studio, I actually have the Chief Minister of the ACT, Katie Gallagher, who actually was part of the vote to introduce this legislation. And as we heard in that story, this marriage equality bill in the ACT could be challenged in the High Court or by the Abbott government. Katie Gallagher, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Now, Katie, with a big likelihood of this bill passing in October, as we also just heard, you could be seeing, you know, as we said, a lot more than pyromaniacs and politicians flocking to Canberra. How do you expect this to work? Will those marriages be recognised outside of the ACT?
Tom, look, there's a lot of reasons to come to Canberra, not just the reasons you've outlined, but we don't have enough time to go into that.
You have Questacon, of course. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Which is a big draw card,
absolutely.
But I could keep going there. Look, in terms of our own bill, there's no residency requirement in the bill, so it does mean that people and couples from interstate who may wish to marry under marriage equality laws could come to the ACT. In terms of whether that would be recognised in their own jurisdiction, that is simply a matter for those jurisdictions, and at the moment there isn't reciprocal recognition, say in New South Wales or Victoria, but that's something that those individual jurisdictions could determine for themselves.
Katie Gallagher, the Abbott government could try and introduce new laws or a High Court challenge to stop this from happening. Now, it seems like you've either cleverly checkmated the federal government because it might be hard to change after you introduce it, or you could be putting a lot of these new marriages into limbo. Do you accept that you could be putting a lot of Australia's first same-sex newlyweds into a strange kind of limbo?
Well, I guess that's for individual decision making. You know, we acknowledge that there's risks associated with these laws and that there's strong voices of opposition to them. But I also would say in response that every law is open potentially for a High Court challenge and in the Territory for federal Parliament's intervention. And that doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't proceed with them. So our view is that we're going ahead. It's a commitment we've made to the people of Canberra in the last election. We know there's some risks ahead, but if we get this laws passed, and we expect they will pass probably in October, that by the end of the year we could have a scheme operating and that means individuals can make that decision for themselves. And I think many couples who have fought for marriage equality are aware of some of the opposition and risks associated with it. And, you know, we had laws overturned in 2006 by the Howard government. That hasn't deterred people from getting involved in our civil partnerships, that scheme that operates now.
What do you think of the point made in the story that it's unfair that nine people, your Labor MPs in the ACT and the Greens MP, decide these laws that could affect people all around Australia?
Well, we're a democratically elected parliament, just like every other parliament in every other state or territory in Australia. So we've been elected by the people of the ACT. Any law that we introduce has to pass with a majority of the parliament. In relation to this law, it looks like that will happen with the support of every Labor member and the individual Green member. You know, 9 out of 17 is a majority. That's just the size of the ACT parliament. But I would strongly strongly argue that just because of the size of our parliament is small doesn't mean that we shouldn't pass laws that people in other places might disagree with.
You are listening to Katie Gallagher, the Chief Minister of the ACT, where today they introduced a marriage equality bill, and it looks to go through in October, which would make it the first jurisdiction in Australia to allow same-sex marriage. One man's texted in saying, as the father of a gay son, I think this is a fantastic move. Another person says, look up the meaning and origins of the word marriage. It's between a man and a woman. You can't change a meaning to the word. I think a lot of people would argue that that has changed a lot over time. Another person says, Abbott and religion can take a hike. Heterosexuality is as commonplace as heterosexuality. Yeah, I think they meant homosexuality there. Wake up, Australian government. Another person says, I'm so sick of the reason that married rights aren't equal because a kid needs a mum and a dad. I take so personally that point every time. I'm a mum who raised two good kids with my female partner, and I feel like I'm pretty much being told I'm a bad mother and my partner is not a good parent to my kids. Very passionate point there. Katie Gallagher, was this a move on your part, a strategic move to try and checkmate Tony Abbott, knowing that the Senate will change not until basically July next year, and you'd have a tough time changing anything before then?
No, look, the timing of this hasn't been anything about the new government coming in or any change to the Senate. We made some commitments in October last year. We did wait to see whether the federal parliament would deal with this matter and progress it nationally through the Stephen Jones bill. That didn't happen, and so we've taken the decision to proceed with our own bill. So the timing and that alignment with the federal new federal government just is unrelated. And look, we just feel that this is an important issue. We've been working on it for over, you know, almost 10 years now. And just seeing the people in the chamber today, parents, friends, individual couples that have fought discrimination all their lives, and seeing them so hopeful that something might happen here, something good might happen in Canberra to rectify that discrimination, shows me that we're doing the right thing.
Did you consult anyone from the Abbott government before you did this?
No, we didn't consult anyone from the Abbott government, or indeed from the previous Rudd government or the Gillard government. This is a matter for the ACT Labor Party and the ACT Labor government. I don't think we haven't been secret about it. It's been clearly part of our agenda since 2001, so shouldn't have taken anyone by surprise.
But Katie, you admitted before that people who would get married under your new legislation would be taking some risk that it might be overturned. You didn't think it was worth consulting the federal government as to the risk of that happening?
Well, we just don't see that it's a matter necessarily that involves the federal government. I mean,
it will. They're already looking at challenging it potentially.
Well, I mean, that's their own decision as to whether they get involved in it. And I've heard Tony Abbott's comments today, but We've made our commitments clear. We made them clear in 2006. We reiterated those in 2008 and again in 2012. So in terms of notice and public awareness of the issue, I think we've certainly done what we need to do for our local community. And we would argue very strongly that we're on solid grounds, we've got good legal advice, and all this is seeking to do is create a way for couples who can't get married under the Commonwealth Marriage Act to utilise another scheme and get the same legal recognition. And we think that's an important social change.
Katie, one of your constituents is pretty happy. Amy from Canberra has texted in saying, I've never been more proud to be a resident of the ACT.
Well, that's really nice to hear. And we've been getting good feedback today. I think the view across the community, across Australia, is largely supportive of this change, and we feel that Canberrans are right behind it as well. But having said that, it wasn't because it's popular or more in fashion or more people like it now that promoted us and motivated us. This has been a long-held view of the Labor Party here, and we're just keen to get it through and to enable people to use the Marriage Equality Act to get married.
All right, well, it will be interesting to see how it pans out, particularly if the Abbott government decide to take you on. Katie Gallagher, Chief Minister of the ACT, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Hack. It's hard to kind of explain it outside of, you know, the scandalous nature of God's grace.
Hack. Triple J.
You are listening to Hack on Triple J. I'm Tom Tilley. And at 10 a.m. this morning, scientist Tim Flannery got a phone call from the new Environment Minister, Greg Hunt. And Greg Hunt told the Climate Commissioner, Tim Flannery, that the Climate Commission was being dismantled immediately. Now, this was promised by the Coalition before the election, but the reality of its demise has upset a lot of people. The Climate Commission was in charge of providing independent and reliable information about the science of climate change, and a very disappointed former Climate Change Commissioner, Tim Flannery, said this was a crucial service.
As global action to combat climate change deepens, propaganda aimed at misinforming the public about climate change and so blunting action increases.
The former Climate Commissioner there, Tim Flannery, and very disappointed there. And we put in a request for an interview with the new Environment Minister, Greg Hunt, but he wasn't available today. But we do hope to bring you an in-depth studio interview with him in the coming weeks so that you can put your questions directly to him. It's going to be a very interesting time for the new government as they draft a bill to repeal the Climate Change Authority and remove the carbon price. So there's lots happening there in the new Abbott government. And lots of reactions from Twitter users today. Climate Commission has been trending all day, actually, which is not something that happens every day. And Craig Harvey was one Twitterer that wrote, "Axing the Climate Commission and the Climate Change Authority is akin to sacking the iceberg lookout on the Titanic." Another person, Brian Goff, wrote, "I think dismantling the Climate Commission is one of the smartest things a government has done for a long time. Well done." And we'll keep you up to date with all the important developments as the government dismantles Labor's climate change policy and institutions.
Hack.
Their lifestyle's typically secret because if they don't, they're called sluts. Sexual satisfaction.
Hack. Hack on Triple J.
Men. Wow, I didn't expect to hear that sentence today. This morning, one of our reporters, Sarah McVie, noticed some research that said sex with ex-partners can actually help smooth the way through a hard breakup. And it got our team here at Hack talking, and there were lots of different opinions around the Hack editorial meeting this morning on this age-old debate, to have or not to have sex with your ex. Conventional wisdom says it's a bad idea and that someone will get hurt. I'd love to know what you think. Do you think that sex with your ex can actually be a good way sometimes to get through a breakup? Give me a call.
Hack 1300 055 36. Text 0439 75 7555.
As Sarah McVie found out, this one certainly is a crowd splitter.
It's either on or off, but, you know, you can't have that grey area.
You've heard that before, right? Maybe you've said it yourself, that sex with an ex is dangerous territory.
Makes it harder to walk away the second time.
Research from the University of Arizona says that if you haven't accepted your breakup, sometimes having sex with your ex can actually help. For Aisha, it gave her closure after her boyfriend broke up with her.
We had sex again the next day after we broke up.
One more time!
It was really good because I think it kind of closes all doors and goes, okay, this might be over.
But not everyone agrees.
We find it really, really hard emotionally to let go, especially if we are the ones that have been left by him or her.
That's Denise Rackenbach, a counsellor with Relationships Australia. She says sex with an ex can be tricky terrain.
Usually having sex with the ex, especially when it's been a breakup that has been really hurtful, is only another arrow into your bleeding heart.
But while you've got that arrow in your bleeding heart, couldn't it help to know your ex still wants you?
I think in the first place it probably does, you know. It lessens the blow on our ego, knowing that he still cares or she still cares, and that he or she sort of still thinks about us. And I think that is very important to know, especially at the beginning.
Does continuing to have sex inevitably make it harder for people to let go and move on?
I think so, because if we have been together with somebody for, you know, a long time, maybe 1 or 2 years or longer, you know, sometimes even 6 months is enough, or 3 months, you know, we usually have some form of emotional investment with that other person, and we have an attachment. So that attachment, you know, will always resurface when we meet that other person, because we have a history together with them.
I think there are times when it could be a positive thing to do. There are times, for example, if one or more parties is feeling a little low, or that they're missing the intimacy quite badly, that it could be a sort of a stopgap measure just while they both recover from the breakup.
That's Dr. Helen McGrath. She's an adjunct professor at Deakin University. She says while it can work, you can't expect your ex to treat you like they used to.
Once somebody moves from the category of being a lover to a friend, the expectations change. If you're in the role of the lover or the partner, then you can be expected, for example, if there's a problem, to drop everything and come and help. And you can expect to be a priority in their life. But if they've moved into a friendship status, then they don't have the obligation to drop everything if you're in trouble. And they don't make you a high priority, so there can be pain around that sometimes.
Sex with your ex is okay if you can emotionally deal with the confusion afterwards.
You can't really help it, and it's something that you miss after a while. He was really good in bed,
and we're still really good friends, so sex is good.
Hack with Tom Tilley, Triple J.
Is there ever a right or a wrong? Sarah McVee reporting on the streets, getting lots of different opinions from people out there. Someone's texted in saying breakup sex or sex with the ex is like a nicotine patch compared to going cold turkey. It's pretty interesting. Colin from Sydney says, I've had sex with all of my exes for a few months after we broke up and it worked for me. Well, Colin, did it work for them? That is the real question. Ben's called in from Brisbane. Ben, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, we were in a relationship for about 5 years, so at the end of it, it was almost like once you're not with them, I didn't really know where to go with sex. So we kept having sex for about 3 or 4 months following.
Right. What happened when you met someone new?
When we met someone new, that was when we sort of met and we said, right, you met someone new, so we're not going to do that anymore. It's sort of, it's finished. So that sort of just, it sort of just stopped abruptly.
Was that harsh? Was that almost as bad as the original breakup?
No, I don't think it was as bad as the original breakup, but I think sort of like us having sex together, we sort of felt a bit more comfortable because we didn't think, now we've broken up, that other person is going having sex with lots of different people, which would have sort of made the breakup bad at the start, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. Thanks for the call, Ben. Chris in Sydney, what do you reckon?
Well, I reckon it's, for me, it was a really easy and lazy way to keep my physical needs satisfied, but it made me lazy in terms of trying to find someone else as well.
You weren't out there working it on the town anymore.
Exactly, and you just knew you had something in your back pocket ready to go if both of you were
in
ready
the back
for
pocket.
It.
That's a good saying there, Chris. How did it pan out with your ex? Did it damage your relationship having sex after the breakup, or was it a good way to wind it down? Even though it made you a bit lazy in the new girl.
Yeah, it was a good
department.
Way to wind it down. We split amicably, and we're not enemies. We weren't enemies or anything like that. But it just made it hard. Well, for me personally, like you said, to get back out there and you know, when you know that's not going to be the relationship you're in for the rest of your life or anything, then...
So what happened, Chris? Did you get back out there or not?
I did, but it took a lot longer than, I should have. Only after we went, we shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Yeah, right. Do you think this can only work when it's kind of a mutual decision to break up and one person's not left really hurt at the end of a relationship?
I think if you were really hurt and you're going back, it's probably not the best thing for you.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
If that person can hurt you like that, and are they going to hurt you again?
Yeah, it can get pretty raw. Thanks so much for your call and your honesty there, Chris.
No problem. Thank you.
Let's go to Linda Carlisle. She's a sexual and relationship therapist. Linda, great to have you on the show again. Do you ever advise your clients that sex with the ex is okay?
Look, it's really interesting, and I guess what the research today shows is that there's no single way to get over a relationship. You know, it just depends on the person. And I suppose, you know, if the breakup was really nuclear and toxic, going back there again is just opening your heart to be hurt all the time. So it depends too on how connected you are. If this is just really has become casual sex, can you process it in your head in a different way? And it was a good point about not moving on. Interesting with the sex as well, you tend to have a different sexual script as a casual sexual partner as opposed to in a relationship. What do you do with safe sex?
I guess you usually have a sort of pattern with an ex-partner, don't you? And I guess potentially you stick to that, but there could be some new factors involved, risk factors. Someone's texted in saying, yes to gay marriage, no to sex with ex. So we know where their votes stand. What is it that happens physiologically, Linda Carlisle, that means that this can get ugly?
Well, it just depends on how you attach to your partner. And some people, when they're in a relationship, they have what they call an anxious attachment. So they're kind of clingy people. If things are not quite right, they want to be close to their partner. And for those people, the research shows that after a breakup, sex with an ex can be quite comforting. So it's a way that they can kind of process their feelings because they get that reassurance, that they get a reduction in anxiety, they get an increase in self-esteem, and they're kind of processing that breakup all along.
Yeah, but that's right, because for some people, I imagine, they know the reality of the situation, but still dealing with that reality is really hard, and maybe this is a way to kind of soften the difficulty of dealing with it.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and I guess you can go the more disciplined, no contact route, but potentially that can also breed problems in the vacuum of communication, I imagine.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, in a few of the studies that I've looked at today, something around 80% of people maintain contact with their ex. And interestingly, in adults, it's only about 20% that have sex with the ex, but in adolescents, it's about 50%. And that's a time where people are kind of learning relationship skills, and that going in and out of and backwards and forwards can actually set up a pattern in your life of, they call it churning in and out of relationships. So it can set up, you know, something for the future that may not be a great pattern for you.
Yeah, it can make it hard to move on to the next partner, I imagine. Max has called in from Melbourne. Max, you reckon it's like hang out at high school when you've graduated from year 12?
Absolutely. Of course it is. It's over. Why would you go back?
But school can be so nice and so romantic, and all your friends are there, and you don't really want to move on.
The whole world's out there, and it's, you know, it's a frightful place. But you know, you've got to get to grip with things and move on. And also, anyone who says that, you know, going back and having sex with the ex is okay, maybe they're unaware that, you know, the other person is probably in a vulnerable emotional state. And even though they're saying, hey, this is an okay thing and it's probably quite good, maybe they haven't moved on yet.
I guess it is very hard to read that other person in that situation.
Absolutely, because they, you know, shared quite an intimate, you know, connection with that person, and maybe that's something that they're not ready to let go of yet.
Yeah, that's right. Ben's called in. Ben, you disagree.
I agree. Oh, yeah, I disagree with that fella, yeah.
Yeah, that because you've tried it and it kind of has worked for you.
Yeah, no, it's worked every time. Like, I've had sex with nearly all of my exes sort of thing, and I'm still close friends with them to this day sort of thing, and that's going back five years now sort of thing, and every time it's all worked out.
Do you think it's anything to do with that, Ben, or are you just an amazing communicator?
I'd give it a little bit of both ways sort of thing. I do well in a relationship and whatnot, but when the sex is good, you always want to have good sex, so you always go back to what you know. But, you know, after, it just sort of dwindles out. Like, you're having sex, and then a month later, like, it's kind of like, or 2 months later, kind of, you both look at each other and you know that it's going to stop, and or if a new partner comes along, it stops. So it's,
yeah, totally. Thanks for your input there, Ben. I'll go back to you, Linda Carlisle. Linda, can it be sometimes that you end up having to break up with someone almost a second time after having sex with them after you broke up originally?
Oh, potentially multiple times, absolutely. And so I guess the question that you have to ask yourself is, you know, is this something that is going to maintain the attachment? Is this something that's going to make you think, you know, ruminating thoughts about your ex and stop you from moving on?
Do you think it makes the next breakup harder than the first one, or does it get easier each time?
Well, each time you practice anything, and breakups are awful any age, so, you know, each time you do it in a way that I guess you feel like you've done it, you know, in a positive way, you know, that gives you confidence to do it in the future. So if you make it into something that's messy, or, you know, it just drags on and on and on, I guess it reduces your confidence in being able to handle that.
Dizzle has tweeted us saying, didn't 90s music teach you anything? Max, don't have sex with your ex because it'll make your life complex. And I guess that's a given, isn't it, Linda, that it'll make your life more complex?
Well, it will, but, you know, I mean, we are complex creatures, and, you know, we love the sense of feeling that we belong, and, you know, that's part of what keeps us drawing back. So,
Linda, we've got one final text here. This show is making me nervous about meeting my ex-girlfriend for dinner tonight to move my belongings from her house. I guess it's moments like that where you have to work out where you're really going with this, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And who's packing the condoms?
Yeah, or whether you're taking them, leaving them there, leaving a couple lying around. Who knows? There's so many variables. Mm. All right, Linda Carlisle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
That's Linda Carlisle, sexologist and relationship therapist. You can continue this conversation on our Facebook page if you've got something really important to say. We'll be back tomorrow. Linda Mariano's up after the news.